Good morning and welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. God has given us one more day in this world to live here to be a blessing. So let us be thankful for that and let us come before God with a heart of thanksgiving for all the blessings that we receive in our lives, the good health and strength that God has given us to get up this morning to see this day, to walk around and to be here and also online worship together. And thank you all for joining. Let us go through the announcements real quick. Those are the regular announcements that I have on the second page on the bulletin. Our food bank ministry continues. Please donate in cash or in kind. The books are available for sale. If you want to buy it, it will also benefit our mission work of this church. Our cooking class and art class will be scheduled as we get volunteers. And our third Thursday luncheon will be at the Golden Corral on August 15th, this coming Thursday, at 1 o'clock. So please join for a time of lunch and fellowship. Today, August 11th, we have a guest here, Reverend Austin Robertson, a friend of mine, and he's an assistant minister at the Faith Methodist Church in Marietta. And I have a little intro there. You can go through that. He's a MDiv from Wesley Biblical Seminary and also an ordained associate minister with the Association of Independent Methodist Organization. And he is now assistant minister at the Marietta Methodist Faith Methodist Church. We are truly blessed to have him as our speaker today. And his wife was supposed to be joining us today, but she had some mishap this morning, so she was not able to make here today. Eventually we'll get to see her sometime in the future. My wife and I will be on vacation the last Sunday of this month and the first Sunday of September, which is the 25th of August, when Miss Lou has agreed to preach on that and lead the service. And the first Sunday when we have communion, Reverend Robertson will be here again preaching and ministering the communion on that Sunday, September 1st. Our mid-year annual report is available now. I have given this out last Sunday. If anyone has yet to receive it, please raise your hand. We'll give you more of those. As you all know, we are a little behind in our budget, so hopefully we'll make it up in the second half of the year. Many times it is a challenge when we are absent from the church. That is when we don't. So that's a good opportunity to give online when you are even away or online. It's a great opportunity to go to website and do it online. We take donations in gift cards, credit cards, many other ways if you go and check it out on our website. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of this church by your prayers, your presence, gifts and service and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do God's work in this community that God has given us to do faithfully, so that God's name will be honored and lifted up among the people in this community and around the world. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody have any special announcements? Anybody else? If not, let us continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 57 in the blue book, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." We will sing verses 1 through 4.
Can make the foulest clean, His blood away.
Please be seated. Let us pray. God of grace and God of mercy, you are the eternal and almighty and everlasting God, and we come before you to worship you and adore you. We thank you for the manifold blessings you shower upon us every day, Lord, even when we don't deserve them. Thank you for the good health and strength you have given us in our bodies to get up today to see one more day in our life, to be a blessing to this world. Thank you for the opportunity that above all you gave us through your Son Jesus Christ, who came to die for us, who rose from the dead so that we can have eternity with you. And we thank you for this opportunity you gave us to worship together here and also online. Thank you for the protection and care, and indeed all the grace of gifts that you give, we receive from you every morning. And we thank you again for your presence in our midst, Lord, since you opened the way of eternity to every race and nation and the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. We are here to worship you, Lord, as our Father. Let your name be lifted up and your people be blessed in our singing, in the prayers we make, and the meditation of the word we make. Everything will bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love now. Responsive reading is taken from Psalm 105 in verses 1 through 11, which is on page 828 of the Blue Book. If you are able, please stand and follow the responsive reading.
Oh, thanks to the Lord. Call on God's name, make known God's deeds among the peoples.
Sing to the Lord, sing praises, tell of all God's wonderful works.
Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek the Lord's presence continually.
Remember the wonderful works God has done, the miracles and judgments God has uttered.
O offspring of Abraham, God's servant, children of Jacob, God's chosen ones.
The Lord is our God, whose judgments are in all the earth.
The Lord is mindful of his everlasting covenant, for the word commanded for 1,000 generations.
The covenant made with Abraham, his promise sworn to Isaac, and confirmed to Jacob as a statue, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying,
to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
This is the time that we share our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God, and also we bring our prayers of burdens and concerns together to the throne of grace of God, and trusting in God's promise that God will answer our prayers according to his time and his will. So let us share our prayers of blessings and concerns. Should we turn to the back of the bulletin? Some of the prayer requests are listed there. Please continue to pray for these people and these items. Jean and Lou are here. Thanks be to God for that. Even though we have been praying for you, thanks be to God for you being here. And we will continue to hold you in our prayers. And pray for Barbara, Harry, and Carol, and Claudia, and Jerry. Please keep them in our prayers as they continue the challenges they are facing with their health, and also their caretakers. Please pray for them also to have patience and care and compassion during this time. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and the grocery clerks and delivery people and many others who serve us on a daily basis. Let us be thankful for their services, and also let us pray for them and their families. Pray for our nation during this election year, that God will bring about the right leaders at the right places, and we'll have a peaceful election and a united country afterwards, and also during this time, that there will not be any issues or problems during the election during this year. Let us pray for the world leaders, especially there are issues going on in many countries, as we heard in Israel, in Iran, and in Bangladesh, and many other places. There are riots, and in UK also, things are not looking well in many parts of the world. So let us be thankful for what we have here and the peaceful country that we live in. Let us pray for those who are affected by these problems around the world. Let us pray that God will bring peace to this world, and pray for the leaders of those countries and the world leaders, that they will also fear God when they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. Let us pray for our church and all the churches in this community and around the world, and all the churches and the leaders of the church and pastors and bishops, that they will all be faithful in the ministry that they have been given to do, and to do a good job, especially in our ministry in this community, to be faithful with the opportunities that God has given us to be a shining light here, to share God's love and compassion to this community for the needy. So let us pray for that also. Those are the prayer requests that I have. Please pray for our vacation time, that my wife and I will be traveling abroad for a couple of weeks. So please pray for that in the end of this week, end of this month.
Vicki and Chuck wanted to be here today. Vicki has recovered from COVID, but Chuck now has it, and that's why they're not here today.
Yeah, they are online with us.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Thanks for joining. If there are no other prayer requests to call out.
Yes, I have one.
Yes.
Monica's husband has been in the hospital with stones.
Okay.
In his
gallbladder. Oh, you don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know his name?
Alexis.
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 Okay, we'll pray for him. Let them know that we'll pray for him. Anyone else? Chuck and Vicky, will keep you in our prayers also, that we'll see you soon. If nobody else has any calls for prayer special, let us go to God in prayer, and we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, and I'll close with a summarized prayer after that. Scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, bring your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Merciful and loving God, we come before you as your children. Lord, thank you for the gift of life with all its joys and blessings. Thank you for the good health and strength you have given us in our bodies and the good family, the church and the fellowship and love that we share with each other. Above all, we thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, for the eternity that you gave us through him, through his death and resurrection in this world. Thank you again for giving us this opportunity to come here to worship together and also pray our prayers and also intercede for others and people's needs that we bring before you. We come before you in many ways broken in our bodies and in our spirits and in our souls. A lot of us need healing in our bodies, Lord. Especially we pray for those who have been lifted up and named here. We pray for Jean and Lou. Thank you for bringing us to the church service today. Continue to be with them and strengthen them in their body and their spirit. Above all, we pray for your grace and Holy Spirit's power to strengthen them during this time of the week, time of their life. We pray that you strengthen them in their faith and confirm in their hope. And above all, we pray for peace in their lives and all the ones who take care of them. We pray for Barbara, Harry, Carol, Claudia, Jerry, and all those who are going through difficult times with their health and many situations they are in, facilities and many places that they are going through now. We pray for your grace upon them. We pray that your peace will give them, you give them their peace during this time and strengthen them, Lord. Above all, we pray for peace that passeth all understanding will fill their hearts and minds. And we pray for their caretakers. We pray that you will bless them with your grace and patience also. We again pray for our nation as we go through an election year. We pray for your grace upon our country. Continue to bless us, Lord, as the nation of your love that we can share to this world. We pray for your Holy Spirit to work through this election, that the right people be elected for the right places, that they can make the right choices and decisions that affect our lives and the world life. We pray for your grace upon our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions, that your grace will be upon them, give them the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We pray for our service workers, our military, our fire, police, and many others who are serving us. We pray for your grace upon them and pray for them and their families. We pray for the world and the world leaders, particularly during this time of turmoil in many places. Many countries are going through internal wars and riots. We pray for your grace in England and Bangladesh and Israel and Iran and many parts of the world. We pray for your grace. Pray for those people who are affected by these things. We pray that you will bring peace to this world and work through the world leaders, that they will also fear God and make decisions that bring peace to this world. We pray for our church, and we thank you for this opportunity that you gave us to minister in this community. Over 100 years that you have placed this church here, Lord, with a purpose. Help us to continue the work of your kingdom in here faithfully. We pray for all the churches in this community and the pastors and the bishops and the leaders of the churches around the world. We pray for your grace upon them that they will stay strong and faithful to the scripture and to the doctrine that you have given us, Lord. Bless us today, Lord, as we continue to worship in with your meditation of the word. We pray for your grace upon Reverend Robertson as he brings the word here. We pray for your grace upon them that Holy Spirit will work through him and through us so that your word will go and become fruitful and multiply through us in this community, Lord. Bless him and strengthen him in his spirit and his wife as she's going through some time of difficulty. Bless her also with your healing. Bless his family, bless his church, bless his ministry as he continues to work for your kingdom, Lord. Be with us today. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, Lord. Open our hearts and minds to you so that we can receive the word and the power of your spirit with humility and obedience. Let your name be lifted up and your people be blessed. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory. Please stand for the Lord's Prayer.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Scripture says, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Everyone should give according to what God has given in his heart, for God loves a cheerful giver. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of life, the family and friends and church and fellowship and love. You are the source of all that we have and we are. You are merciful and gracious that you give us everything that even when we don't deserve. Above all, we thank you for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ you have given us, Lord, more than we could ever deserve. We bring before you a portion of what you have given us as a witness to the love that you have loved for you, that your love you have for us. We thank you for those who were able to give today joyfully and pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offering to this community, to share your love to this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you remain standing, we will read the scripture. It is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. You can follow that on the screen or on your Bible. It's a long passage, so feel free to sit down if you want to. It's a long passage, so sorry, Lisa, but you have to read it.
Stand. What happens when you bring in a guest preacher and ask them for scripture?
No, we are used to it.
Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter this a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except for one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, and the Son of Man, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because you have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Get myself situated here. We will get rolling. Again, it's really a pleasure to be here this morning. I'm very happy to have been asked to come. It's been nice to talk a little with Pastor Matthew and get to know him some. And it was nice to meet in person and nice to get to be here and meet each one of you in person as well. There's a little blurb about me. I know he put and he mentioned a little about me. But so I'm an ordained associate minister with the Association of Independent Methodists. And I'm also, that's kind of how I moonlight, because I, at daytime, I'm also an attorney. I'm a staff attorney for Justice McMillan on the Supreme Court of Georgia. So that's kind of my work by day, but during that process, was called into ministry as well. And so I guess you'd say I'm kind of bivocational right now, although most of my ministerial work is voluntary, but that's okay. As Pastor also mentioned, I'm married. I've also got three kids. The kids are holding down the fort today, so hopefully you'll be able to meet them soon as well. And my wife, who was coming with me this morning, but we had to kind of double back. She was feeling ill on the ride here, and so I said, oh man, I can't be late, so we went back, but she's going to be all right. And she said, get out there, you got to go, and I said, of course. So again, glad to be here. Look forward to being able to have the rest of my family here in the future. I know I'll be preaching again one of the Sundays that Pastor Matthew and his wife are abroad. Again, that's kind of a little about me. I was born and raised, I'll say, even though I'm ordained pastor in the Independent Methodist Church, born and raised Baptist, so you got to not hold that against me too much. There you go, my grandfather. All right, I bet that's true of a lot of us anyway. There's a lot of Baptists out there. As long as they leave some of the mac and cheese for me, I'm good. But you know, I'm not hurting on that front, obviously. That said, I'll just throw this in while I'm talking about it, because man, I'm happy about it. When we started talking about a month and a half ago, Pastor doesn't know, but there's less of me now already than there was then. I've been fasting lately and doing some other things. Man, past month and a half, let me see. Month and a half ago, the scale told me 306. That's a lot anyway, and I'm a short guy. So anyway, today, the scale tells me 279. That's a pretty big difference in the amount of time. So maybe when I come back again, there will be less of me still. But praise God for that. And like I said, raised Baptist, but as I entered into seminary as well and got the call to ministry, I was in a Baptist church at that time, and I actually began seminary at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, which is one of kind of Southern Baptist Seminary's flagship seminaries. They have a handful of them across the country. Probably the biggest and most well-known would be Southern, I guess, in Kentucky, but Midwestern's a pretty large one. And during that process, we found through some other circumstances, I won't get into all those things, but we found the church we're at now, Faith Methodist Church, where I now also serve as associate minister, and just fell in love with the people, fell in love with Wesleyan theology, wanted more of it, wanted to know more, and from there I kind of actually transferred to Wesley Biblical Seminary, which Wesley Biblical Seminary is a seminary that is supported by AIM. When I say AIM, that's shorthand, Association of Independent Methodists, which is a mouthful, but man, AIM's really easy to see, so you'll notice I'll just stall and say an AIM. But one of AIM's primary seminary, which they helped start, was Wesley. That's a seminary that is committed to inerrancy of Scripture. You know, we're talking about conservative theology. When I say conservative, that doesn't mean we're driven toward a certain area, but it means a commitment to conservative theology to me, if nothing else, means a commitment to the inerrancy and the infallibility and the authority and sufficiency of God's Word, of Scripture, and applying that to our lives instead of trying to apply kind of our lives and our culture to the Word and make it fit what we want it to fit. And so when I say that, that's kind of what I mean in that respect. And so I have completed my MDiv, like I said, been ordained in AIM. That means, I guess part of that is, part of my background is I haven't gone through a disaffiliation process like so many people have, and my understanding, I know y'all have, y'all were Piedmont United Methodist Church, I guess, and I know that that is something that even though I didn't go through personally, obviously being an independent Methodist and an independent Methodist minister and an independent Methodist church, we know a lot of people that have gone through that, and AIM we've seen grow a lot during this process of disaffiliation, because a lot of churches, I guess y'all would be included in that group, right? A lot of churches that have it disaffiliated, and kind of part of the question is, what's next? What's God's will for our church? What's the best place for us? Because there's other options, right? I mean, there's being completely independent, which right now you are. There's a lot of really good, completely independent churches out there. There's things like AIM, there's Wesleyan Church, of course a big one's the Global Methodist Church. And so when I'm here, obviously I'm ordained AIM. I've got, I guess, a bias, you'd say that there, but I'm not here to say that any of those other options are bad options. I think there are good denominations, several good ones that a lot of good churches can join. But sometimes the question is, what's the best fit for a particular church? And so really, part of my purpose being here before I get into the sermon is to just tell you all a little bit. Again, I want to give you a brief introduction to me, tell you a little bit about AIM and what it is, so that you as a church can, in that position, will have that information and can make those decisions about, is this a good fit for us? Is this association we'd like to covenant with? Obviously, like I said, we'd be happy to talk with you all more about it. One thing I wanted to kind of note, I've got some points here that I want to hit for sure. I'll get in trouble if I get off the script too much. So I got to go back to it. But AIM, like I said, one thing is AIM is an association. We're not a denomination. That's one distinctive. And so, like I said, I think there are some things that make AIM a uniquely good fit for a lot of churches. Again, that's not to say that other options are not good fits for a lot of churches, but the things that we think were our strengths, I kind of wanted to hit on some of that and make sure I'm kind of, you know, be clear on a few key points, I guess, about AIM when we're talking about it, so you can kind of have that information. Anything else I'm talking about here today, too, I'm happy to stick around a little after today, talk a little more about it. I'm happy to get any information to the pastor or anyone else about, you know, our articles of belief, any of those kind of documents. You know, we're happy to provide any of those things, and I'm happy to answer any questions y'all might have. But again, an association, not a denomination. We've been in existence for over 58 years, which actually means that AIM slightly predates the merger that created the United Methodist Church officially. So we've been around, and we're not nearly as large of a association. I got to catch myself and not say denomination, because that's not what we are. Not nearly as large as, like I said, some other options or the UMC, obviously, but we have been established and for quite a while, and we have been growing, like I said, kind of through a lot of this process that's been going on within the Wesleyan and Methodist community, especially over the past 5 or 10 years. So at this point, AIM is comprised of over 100 different congregations in 10 different states. I'll just list them. Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, North Carolina, Tennessee, and West Virginia. We have churches in all those. And so we kind of have it split into different zones. And one of the things is we try to help, we help independent churches remain independent, but also be connected and have that kind of support. A voluntary association of self-governing, independent congregations that are doctrinally Methodist. I mean, that's who we are. Our theological approach and expression is in keeping with our Wesleyan Arminian tradition. AIM member churches are connected to other like-minded congregations and are not isolated and alone. Our goal is neither to control nor uniformity, but only unity in love. And so, you know, a few key distinctives, like I said. One is independent Methodist churches own their own property. There's no trust clauses, so you don't get into any kind of situation where you need AIM approval for any type of, you know, modifications to your building, because it's your building. So all AIM churches, they own their own building. Independent Methodist churches call their own pastors as well. So on that point, I want to point out, AIM is happy to help churches find pastors, call pastors, to help through that process, to vet people and work with them. But AIM is not in the business of assigning pastors, moving pastors, telling one pastor this is where you're going. And so it's left up to the churches, because each church in AIM remains entirely independent within AIM. Churches call their own pastors and make that decision of their own. AIM has no authority to move pastors, assign pastors, anything like that. But again, AIM does put a lot of effort into helping churches when they want to find pastors. We're more than happy to do that. And AIM also offers a lot of training for pastors and lay. Like I said, we've got connections with seminaries, Bible colleges as well, plus other non-kind of university trainings for pastors and lay people. So a lot of things provided through AIM to kind of support our churches. Like to think we're big enough to serve the needs the churches have, but also small enough to kind of, like I said, have that connection and community. So a couple other things. We credential our own ministers. Obviously, I'm credentialed with AIM, and like I said, we can help churches who are looking for them. And then independent Methodist churches voluntarily contribute to support AIM, so there's basically no apportionment. That's what that means. There's no required apportionment. There never has been. There never will be. As far as I'm concerned, that's how it's always been. We ask churches to contribute, but again, kind of like when we take offering in church here, the idea is we want cheerful, loving givers, and we want churches to be able to together decide what they can give and want to give to support AIM. So that's what we rely on, is the loving, voluntary contributions of our members and member churches. But there's no apportionments, so we don't tell churches you have to pay a certain amount, you got to pay it by a certain time. We don't change the amounts. It doesn't go up, it doesn't go down. It's up to the church what they're able to pay, and AIM is supported through that. And AIM is in the black as well as far as the budget goes, so we're doing well with that. We trust that good, God-fearing, Bible-believing churches are going to be the churches that are going to give cheerfully anyway. So there's no need to require it. And hey, what do you know? It works out pretty well that way, actually. Our complete articles of belief and rules of discipline can be found on our website. Like I said, I'm also happy if anyone wants to talk. I can make sure that they're provided to anyone who wants them, get them to the pastor, they can be distributed. Suffice to say this time, like I said, we affirm and will always affirm that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, and authoritative Word of God, and it is entirely sufficient. So that's kind of, you know, a big basis. And of course, we affirm the Trinity, the deity of Christ. Jesus is the only way to salvation through grace and faith alone. But again, if anyone wants to see our entire articles, we're happy to provide those. Because that's another thing we're not in the business of. We want to covenant with like-minded churches. And what we don't want to do is have a system of government set up where we try to change the theology of our churches, I think, right? We want to adhere to God's word, and we want churches that are in agreement with that. We think the benefits of joining AIM lie, for one, in the foundational, one of the foundational stones of Methodism, like I said, is our connectionalism. So we are a family of God that gives us, this gives us theological stability. We provide training, education, resources for pastors and churches. We have retreats for men and women and youth every year, multiple churches, multiple retreats in different parts of the country. We support missionary families in Mexico, Ecuador, Guatemala, and Japan. We also work with churches and missionaries in the states, in Tennessee, Kentucky, and Mississippi. We have some great missionary AIM missionaries that do work, construction work and different things free. And we work with churches and missionaries in Uganda, Zimbabwe, and Poland. We work with the World Gospel Mission to expand our outreach to the world. And we also have 14 chaplains currently serving in military and in hospitals and in hospices. So that's kind of a little about what we are. And so, like I said, one thing we also haven't been in the business of through this process is kind of reaching out and trying to, you know, contact churches in our own that are disaffiliated and say, hey, join us. But we do want to make ourselves available for churches who are in that process to know who we are, what we're about, and they can kind of make that decision if this is the right choice for them, like I said. If a church decides that it wants to join AIM, it just completes an application for membership, affirming again its adherence to the AIM's kind of statement of beliefs, and after review by the executive committee and at least one on-site visit, if there hasn't already been one, once approved, we enter into a covenant relationship together. There's a covenant we sign, and so AIM churches, again, like I said, covenant certain things when they join AIM, to support AIM, like I said, through their voluntary giving, through serving, through coming to retreats when they're able and stuff. But again, everything's voluntary, but we trust that our churches want to fellowship with us. And AIM covenants with each church also to provide the support that they need, to provide resources, to provide those kind of services, retreats, and so that we can kind of have that united front, have the advantages of working together as churches, I think, without having some of the disadvantages that might come with denominational affiliations that I know a lot of us are unfortunately more familiar with than we would like to be, right? And there's no fee to join AIM again. So that's AIM in a nutshell. And so from there, I'm going to move into a sermon. Like I said, if anyone wants to talk more about AIM, I'll be back. Plus, I'll hang around after. Love to talk about it. Like I said, I think it's a great option. Obviously, we'd love to talk more with your church about it if you're interested. But we trust that each church is going to be able to discern God's will. And we just want to make ourselves available to tell you, hey, we love you. We're here for you. And we hear you. Because it's been tough for a lot of the UMC, current and former UMC churches, and obviously we love them, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. With that said, I'm going to move into the sermon. So kind of as a break here, I'd like to just pray a little before we start, and then we'll kind of move in. I will give you a little if it's any consolation or comfort to anyone. I knew I was talking a little bit about it before I started, so I made sure my sermon wasn't crazy long, so we shouldn't, you know, keep us too long, because again, we do need to beat the Baptist out to get some lunch, or there will be none left. So, let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be here with Piedmont Fellowship Church, with the people here. It's such a pleasure to meet new people this morning, to see new people, but to know, God, again, that we are family and that we are brothers and sisters in Christ and that we can love one another, and we do love one another despite the fact that we've never even met. It's a beautiful thing, God, that you give us. It's a beautiful thing about your church and the family. And so we ask, God, that you would just continue to build up your bride in this time as we anticipate your return for us, Lord. Help us to serve you well. I pray that you would help me to serve you well this morning, God, and you would minister to the hearts of each person who is here. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm hoping you'll indulge me a little as we you know, start preaching today. We kind of read through that verse already. So in so doing, I want you to, you know, go back with me. Go back about 2,000 years ago. An old man, he walks alone at night down a path in Jerusalem. Winter is changing over to spring, and a gentle breeze of cool air chills the old man as he progresses along the way. He's a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin, one of the rulers of the Jewish people. But this night he walks alone in the dark to meet a miracle worker. And as he arrives at the place of meeting, he knocks on the door, and it's open to him. So old Nicodemus, he stepped out of that cold, dark night across the threshold and into a well-lit room. That it's a well-lit room is an understatement, to tell you the truth, but we'll kind of get into that too. Now, it seems that Nicodemus is coming by night so that he will not be seen. And that's probably true. John has already hinted earlier in his gospel that the Pharisees are beginning to oppose Jesus. So it's fair to assume that Nicodemus, a Pharisee himself, and apparently a pretty high-ranking one, he did not want to be seen going to visit this Jesus. So Nicodemus visits him under the cover of night. But still, I think something else seems to be at play with this detail. I think John has another reason for letting us know that Nicodemus came to see Jesus by night. And I think that the conversation that they have, which we've just heard during the scripture reading, it actually gives us some clues. Jesus is trying to tell Nicodemus, right, about the necessity of being born again. But note that Nicodemus, this expert in the law, he does not understand. This is made plain by Jesus' question to him, right? He says, are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? You can almost hear the astonishment in Jesus' voice. Nicodemus doesn't understand the need for spiritual rebirth. And that, I think, too, is why John gives us this detail that Nicodemus visited Jesus by night. Sure, Nicodemus did not want to be seen, but it's Nicodemus who can't see. His night was blacker than he knew. He was coming from a state of spiritual darkness. And there's something else that he didn't realize, something else he didn't understand, something else he didn't believe and see. And that's what I was talking about, that when he stepped out of the darkness of that night, over the threshold, and he saw Jesus in that room, he was looking at the light of the world. Even though Nicodemus didn't know this at the time, John, he's already told us as much at the beginning of the gospel. In chapter 1 of John's gospel, he writes, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And Jesus, he makes it crystal clear later in this very gospel. He says in chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So although Nicodemus doesn't understand it at this point, Jesus is telling him of his need to believe in him and to be born again to see the kingdom of God and have eternal life. And it's not only Nicodemus who's been in a state of spiritual darkness, right? We are all born in a state of spiritual darkness. Amen. And we need to be born again. Amen. Indeed, back in our passage today in verse 7, when responding to Nicodemus' confusion, Jesus tells him, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. If you look at the original language here, Jesus actually, he switches here from using a plural form of you when he says, you have to be born again. In other words, Jesus is not just saying, you, Nicodemus, need to be born again. He's saying, y'all, right? All y'all, mm-hmm. Even your mom and them, need to be born again. All right. As John Wesley put it in one sermon, ye were born in sin, therefore ye must be born again. Of course, we all know this, right? At this point, you may be saying to yourself, preacher, I've got all this. John 3:16, got it, right? Memorized it in Sunday school when I was a kid. I know that we're born with a sinful nature and that we need to be born again. We need to be saved. We did the Nicodemus story on the flannel graph back in the day. So that's all well and good. And I hope some seeker here today maybe that needs to hear this hears it and believes and is born again. But I'm good. And if that's you here today and you've been born again, I say, praise God, for he is good. And yet I still fear that there's something else that many of us may be missing. Something that's right in front of our faces that we're not seeing. Remember we were saying that night Nicodemus, he sat there face to face with the Word made flesh, the light of the world. And yet he didn't see it. He didn't understand. He didn't believe. Not yet. We'll get there too. But I don't want us to be like Nicodemus here and miss the way and the truth and the life when we're sitting here face to face with the Word, with Him. Being born again is not the end. Being born again is not the end. Ask yourself, what is birth? Birth is the beginning, not the end. We're not born again so that we can sit around doing nothing or doing whatever until someday, you know, off in the future, when we step into eternal life and live happily ever after in heaven. Rebirth is the beginning of eternal life. We're born again to live, and that eternal life starts here and now. When we're born again, our spiritual senses are awakened. So don't continue to slumber. Wake up! He opens our eyes to the light of the world. He attunes our ears to hear His voice. He feeds us the sweet tasting bread of life, and He gives us living water to drink. His Spirit blows in like the wind, and we feel Him living inside of us. It wouldn't make sense for God to awaken our spiritual senses for us to live a life that is senseless. If you look closer, all throughout John's Gospel, you'll see this type of sensory language used to describe belief. Again and again, he uses it. Remember in the very passage we're looking at, and I just alluded to it again a moment ago, but in verse 8, Jesus told Nicodemus, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now, Jesus explicitly mentions hearing here. Hearing the wind, right? But I would also point out that we feel the wind also. And later in chapter 20, when Thomas is doubting the resurrection, everyone knows the story of doubting Thomas, right? What does Jesus tell him to do so that he will believe? He says, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Jesus is saying, not only look, but feel my scars. And Thomas believes. Thomas's answer is one of my favorite proclamations of the lordship and the deity of Jesus that you'll find in the entire Bible. Right? Thomas replies, "My Lord and my God." And speaking of hearing, right, elsewhere in John's Gospel, in chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." What about things like taste and smell? In chapter 4, right, Jesus tells the Samaritan woman at the well that he offers living water that will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And then he tells his disciples that he has food to eat that they don't know about. And if you're wondering, he doesn't mean he's got a secret like trail mix stash that he's munching on. I don't know, maybe he did, but that's not what he's talking about here. In chapter 6, he tells the people, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And I save sight for last, right? Because it is the most prominent one that we see all throughout John's Gospel. John contains repeated references to what we've already been talking about, that Jesus is the light of the world and the light of life. So I'll note just one more for our purposes this morning. But in chapter 12, Jesus says, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." That is the spiritual darkness that Nicodemus was lost in. Fateful night. The same spiritual darkness that we are all in before Jesus shines his light into our lives. Wesley actually preached a sermon entitled The New Birth on the same passage from John that we're looking at this morning. And he hit on some of the exact same points about the awakening of our spiritual senses. So I wanted to take just a moment to read an excerpt from that sermon. And I'll just warn you, it's kind of a lengthy excerpt. I guess I'm a lengthy excerpt guy. But I think it's worth hearing because, believe it or not, John Wesley probably says it better than I could. but I'll try to preach it too. So, Wesley preached, "While a man is in a mere natural state, before he is born of God, he has, in a spiritual sense, eyes and sees not. He has ears but hears not. His other spiritual senses are all locked up. He is in the same condition as if he had them not. Hence, he has no knowledge of God, no intercourse with him. He is not at all acquainted with him. He has no true knowledge of the things of God, either of spiritual or eternal things. Therefore, though he is a living man, he is dead. But as soon as he is born of God, there is a total change in all these particulars. The eyes of his understanding are opened, and he sees the light of the glory of God, his glorious love in the face of Jesus Christ. His ears being opened, he is now capable of hearing the inward voice of God. He feels, is inwardly sensible of the graces which the Spirit of God works in his heart. He feels he is conscious of a peace which passeth all understanding. He many times feels such a joy in God as an unspeakable and full of glory. He feels the love of God shared abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to him. And all his spiritual senses are then exercised to discern spiritual good and evil. By the use of these, he is daily increasing in the knowledge of God, of Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent, and to all the things pertaining to his inward kingdom. And now he may properly be said to live. God having quickened him by the Spirit, he is alive to God through Jesus Christ. God is continually breathing, as it were, upon the soul, continually. And his soul is breathing unto God. Grace is descending into his heart, and prayer and praise ascending to heaven.
Amen.
And by this intercourse between God and man, this fellowship, right, with the Father and the Son, and by a kind of spiritual respiration, the life of God and the soul is sustained, and the child of God grows up till he comes to the full measure of the stature of Christ. So why all this talk of the awakening of the spiritual senses, though? What I'm telling us is that God didn't give us eyes to see suffering so that we could turn a blind eye to it. He didn't give us ears to hear the groans of the sick so that we could just block them out. Mm-hmm. He hasn't given us the bread of life and living water so that we can be filled while people across town and across the world die of thirst and starvation.
Right.
He doesn't comfort us so that we can neglect the widow and the orphan. Mm-hmm. Comfort them. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Care for the sick. Proclaim the gospel. Let others see the light of the world who is in you. We are born again to live for him. There's a story I've got near the end here, and I was laughing this morning because, like I said, I started to come in today and I had to double back. My wife wasn't feeling good, and I said, "Oh man, I'm going to be late." And I chuckled to myself because I was already going to tell this story. I've heard another preacher once tell, and it's about this pastor, right? He has a guest preacher, and he's coming to preach for this revival service. I know that's a lot of preachers, so you know we would never get out for lunch. I talk too much about getting out for lunch. It just shows that the fasting makes me think about it too much. Anyway, the time of the revival service, it comes and it goes, and the guest preacher, he never arrived. So the pastor, he ends up having to preach something kind of on the spot, and that goes well enough. And after the service ends and everyone's about left, guess who shows up? In runs the guest preacher. He says, "Oh, brother, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I had car trouble. I had a flat tire on the highway here. And while I was changing it, I dropped the lug nut, and it rolled out in the road. And without even thinking, I jumped over to grab it real quick, and bam! Right as I did, a 40-ton log truck going 80 miles per hour, it hit me head on. So you see, that's why I'm late." And the pastor, he looks at him, and look, guest preacher, he doesn't look too worse for the wear. So the pastor says, "Well, I don't believe you." And the guest preacher says, "Why?" And the pastor says, "Because if you've had a one-on-one encounter with a 40-ton log truck going 80 miles per hour, it's going to change the way you look." Now, I'm telling you, if we had a one-on-one encounter with Jesus Christ our Lord, it's going to change the way we look. It changed the way Nicodemus looked. Remember, I told you that night he didn't see, he didn't understand, he didn't believe yet. But I think based on some other things, I think things changed for Nicodemus. He pops up a couple times after this in John's gospel, and he just looks different. In chapter 7, Nicodemus openly defended Jesus' right to a fair hearing before the Pharisees, and he was mocked for it. This man looks different than the skeptical visitor who came to Jesus under the cover of night. And then in chapter 19, after Jesus was crucified, Nicodemus brought the myrrh and the aloes and helped the disciples wrap Jesus' body in linen and spices and lay him in the tomb. Nicodemus looks different. I think he saw the light. He understood. He believed. He was reborn. And then the key, he lived his new eternal life out in the present in anticipation of his future hope. Believe in Christ. Be born again and start living eternal life now.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Robert Robertson, for that beautiful message to open our hearts and our minds to see like Jesus sees, to be in the light and not in darkness. May the good Lord bless us with these words and to be faithful witnesses for his kingdom in days to come. Now our closing hymn is hymn number 369, Blessed Assurance. If you are able, please stand.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Spirit washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst from my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking around, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
People of God, God has called us to be in the light of Jesus Christ. As we encountered Jesus, His light shines through us, into us, and through us to this world. Let us share that light and love and care and compassion to those who are needy around us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.